It's only three verses that we're particularly going to be looking at today, but we're going to be looking at them in some detail this morning. Let's pray, shall we, first of all. Father God, we thank you for this letter that Peter wrote to Christians who were struggling, who were finding things tough, this letter of encouragement to keep on going, to keep holding on to the truth, to keep living distinct lives. And we pray that as we look at a little bit more of it now, that actually you will help us to be the same, that we'll be people who can keep on going, who can keep on growing, who can live distinctively in the places that you sent us. Just open our hearts and our ears now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how many of our homes at some point or other, and for some of you it may be quite a while ago, had one of these, or the cheap version, which is a pencil on the wall, where you mark on the names of children or grandchildren, or maybe actually it was even you many years ago, and then the dates of when it was, and you plot and see just how the children grow over the years. And you can imagine all those exclamations, can't you, when the child goes there, oh, look how much you've grown in the last year, etc. My son seems to be having a bit of a growth spurt at the moment, and I think within a couple of years he's going to have caught up with me, and actually it's just interesting to see he's in the middle of a big spurt there at the moment. And what we haven't got one of these downstairs in the youth room, but actually what we have got downstairs in the youth room is on the side, actually, the young people have marked on, I think they've marked on there, you guys can tell me if you like, I think you've marked on your heights some places, haven't you? But actually, whether it was heights as well, but I think certainly part of the plan was not just to mark on your physical heights, but to mark on your spiritual heights. And the idea is that every 3 months, you go back to those charts and see, where am I spiritually? How high, how tall, how much have I grown spiritually over the last few months, few years? And it's just lovely to just see particularly what's happening with our youth and just to hear stories like I've just shared with Janice. She wasn't quite brave enough to come up and tell her herself. She changed her mind at the last minute. But it's great to hear just what is going on amongst our young people and how they are growing and moving on with God. And I want to ask a question to all of us today, really, is what would our own spiritual growth charts over the last few years look like if we'd been charting ours out? How have we been doing? How have we been growing? If we're honest, probably, I suspect that many of our charts look more like the right-hand one than the left-hand one. That it doesn't work that it's a nice linear, yes, I'm going this way, but actually our Christian journeys take lots of twists and turns. And sometimes we can feel we're going backwards, but actually in going backwards, actually we're moving forwards. And sometimes it can look a bit of a mess, but in the mess, God's still at work. And today I want us to talk about this. I'm not here to take us on a guilt trip about how we are or aren't growing. But as Peter did here in his letter to those Christians who are struggling, who are under pressure, and wanting to encourage us, to spur us on again, to focusing on those things which help us keep going and help us keep growing. Those things which help us grow up in our faith, as Peter talks about in today's verses. But how do we do that? How can we play our part in growing? Well, if someone's to grow up physically, to be healthy and strong, then actually we need a good diet, don't we? I don't know whether anyone saw the news report of a couple of weeks ago about how a boy went blind because he simply had a diet of chips and Pringles. Now, I've used that story several times in the previous 2 weeks with my son just to encourage him to eat healthily. But it's a reminder, isn't it, that actually if we don't have a good diet, then actually we're not going to grow up properly and healthily. And I think Peter here in these verses, just these three verses, actually tells us, we're going to think about what he wants us to give up. What's give up the bad diet, if you like, we're going to start with, and then we're going to come on to what's the good diet. So here he says, give up the bad diet. In verse 1, he starts by saying, therefore. Now, where does that therefore come from? Well, it goes back, right, I think, to chapter 1, verse 3, where Peter's saying, actually, that you've got a new birth. You've become Christians. Actually, you're different people. You've had a new birth in Jesus. And so he's saying, because you've had a new birth in Jesus, because you're different people, then actually get rid of the old ways. Get rid of the old ways of thinking. And he lists several here. Rid yourself of all malice. Malice, that thing of having a desire to perhaps hurt someone with our words or with our deeds. Get rid of all deceit, that thing of by dishonest methods, just trying to gain advantage over people. That thing of hypocrisy, get rid of hypocrisy, where actually we act one way to people on the surface, but inside we're actually quite different. Get rid of envy, that desire for things that other people have got, and perhaps resenting that other people have got and that we haven't. Desiring material goods, relationships, whatever it is. And slander, that thing of twisting the truth to damage other people's reputations. That's just some of the list. That's the list that Peter gives here, but it's not meant to be an exhaustive list, I don't think. But he's saying, get rid of those things now that you are a new creation in Jesus. Now that you've been born again into a new and living hope, this isn't who you are anymore. You're not someone who does those things anymore. Actually, someone in Christ actually acts differently. And as we heard last week, in the passage last week, actually, people were saying, people who are of Christ, people who have been born into this new way, actually is the way of love, of loving God and loving others deeply and serving others, not having these destructive feelings of pulling others down and pushing ourselves forwards. So he's saying, get rid of them, deal with them, because actually they hinder your growth. You see, when our hearts are turned towards these things, when actually this is what our thought patterns are, what happens is that I think it stunts our growth, it stops our growth. It turns us away from God. Don't worry, honestly. Honestly, it's fine. I'm going to need that in an illustration in a minute. And it's a bit like those thorns in the parable of the sower, I think. If we go on to that, the idea of the thorns there, where it says in Matthew 13, the worries of the life, the deceitfulness of wealth, there's that word deceit again. What those things do is they choke the plants. They make it unfruitful. They choke the growth. They stunt the growth. I think these, of course, aren't what Peter mentions here, aren't the only things which choke or stunt our growth, are they? Maybe for us, actually, it's not those things particularly today, but actually it's different things. Maybe it's idols in our life. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe it's even our work or our families, actually, that we're just putting before God, that's stopping our growth in God. Maybe it's addictions that we have, or unforgiveness in our heart, or unhelpful relationships, or thought patterns, or bitterness. All of those things can do what this says. This says here in the parable, so it can strangle us growing up in the faith. I wonder what it is today that's stunting our growth, that God wants to reveal to us and for us to acknowledge this morning. And how do we rid ourselves of this? It's easy to say, isn't it? Peter says, rid yourselves of these things, as if actually you just got to say, okay, I'm ridding myself of them and that's done. But it's not quite like that, is it? Well, I don't find it's like that. I don't find it's that easy. But I want to suggest perhaps three things. How do we get rid of these things? I think the first thing is by admitting it, by acknowledging it, by recognizing these things in us. Admitting where actually our feelings towards other people are not right. Our relationships are not right. Perhaps recognising where we're not being totally honest in our dealings with people. Recognising perhaps where we are being hypocritical in our behaviour. Recognising where we have actually made other things far more important than God's and made them into idols in our lives. It starts by acknowledging and recognising those things. And then I think actually we then take it to God, don't we? We offer those things to God, and we offer it in prayer and confession, and we acknowledge before God that actually those things are there, that we want Him to deal with. Because, you know, I can't change my heart on my own. I can't change on my own just those feelings that I have sometimes. I need God to transform my heart. I need God to come in and fill me with His fruit of His Spirit, to soften my heart, to give me a heart of love. And so we offer those to God, and we're in prayer and confession, and maybe even with others. We just say, God, I want to be different. Will you come in and change me? And then thirdly, actually, I think then we have a part to play in this. We don't just leave it to God. We say, actually, I'm going to deliberately choose to act in the opposite spirit. Maybe there's someone who actually we know we're struggling with, and perhaps we're tempted to speak bad of them behind their backs. Then actually to come in the opposite spirit is to say, actually, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to deliberately choose to speak well of them to other people. I'm going to go out of my way to just to be kind to them and bless them and to be different. But I'm going to need to ask God for His help. And I think that's some of the ways in which actually we get rid of this stuff. It's not just our work. It's not just God's work. But we have to work with God to transform us, to transform our hearts. Because these things stop us. These things stunt our growth. They stop us from being what God wants us to be. So that's what Peter's saying. He's saying actually get rid of the bad diet. But then he goes on, doesn't he, to say desperately desire the good diet. Verse 2 and 3, have a look at them. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. I love that last phrase, tasted that the Lord is good. It comes from Psalm 34, verse 8, which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, those he was writing to, Peter was writing to, had started in their faith. Despite the tough times, they had tasted that the Lord is good. I wonder if you've tasted that the Lord is good lately. I'm sure most of us can point to times in the past, and hopefully times in the present too, where we've known God to be good, where we've known particularly His goodness and His care and His love for us. But there may be some people here today who actually don't know God's goodness. And maybe the invitation from God for you today is, if you don't know God's goodness, if you don't know Him, then He's saying to you, come taste and see that I'm really good. It's a bit like watching people eat. So imagine watching people eat a really nice pudding. You know, one of those really nice chocolate cakes, and they're sitting at a table, and as if you're watching on, well, you can see it, can't you? You can see that they're enjoying it. You can see that it's a difference. But it's only when you go to the table and pick up a spoon and stick your spoon in and stick it in your mouth and taste it yourself that you really experience it. And maybe God's invitation for some people here today is actually no longer stand off from afar and look on, but come and actually take that step of picking up the spoon and tasting that I'm good. You see, Peter's saying here that actually that was just the start to these people. You've started, you've been born again, you've tasted God's goodness, but now what I want you to do is to crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow up in your faith. Let's unpack that a minute. I've got my physical milk here. I really don't like milk. I really don't like anymore tasting milk. It's bizarre, isn't it? But I want us to think about what does he mean here by spiritual milk? What's the phrase actually meaning? Well, without going into too much detail, if you look at the original words for spiritual here, it actually shares a root with the word logos, the word. And the phrase is sometimes translated here as the pure milk of the word. And the word can mean two things, I think, can't it? It can mean the word of God. It can mean scripture. It can mean this book that we've got. But also the word with a capital W. It can mean Christ himself, can't it? In John 1, we talk about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And so I think we're being told here to crave the Word of God and the living Word that is Jesus himself. And we're to crave Scripture, not so that we can learn it and become really intelligent and have lots of knowledge, but we're taught to crave Scripture because actually when we dwell and when we study and when we look at the written word, actually that's when we are pointed to the living words. We meet the living words in the written words. And that's when we're shaped and that's when we're transformed. Let's think about that word crave. What does it give you? This is where my illustration's just left the room. But just imagine that picture of a sort of baby craving for milk. Starving, craving, screaming head off because they want that milk which will strengthen that, which will strengthen that little body to work as it's meant to be and grow as it's meant to grow. That milk which will give it immunity from diseases. But also, you know, actually what so often happens when a baby's given milk, then actually this is what we see so often next, isn't it? That picture of comfort and peace that we see when a baby sucks on its mother's breast or sucks on the milk there, suddenly that screaming is transformed into comfort and peace and tranquility. That transformation happens when they taste the milk. And you know, this is the picture that we're given here, and Jo's version that she read out actually expanded it even more than in the NIV, which is helpful. It is we're called to crave God's spiritual milk. And in the same way, God's word will strengthen us. God's word will give us what we need to grow strong and to support us through the trials and the tough times. God's word will protect us from the many spiritual diseases which abound. It'll help us resist temptation. It will nourish us to become more like Christ, to align ourselves with God's values. God's word will comfort us and bring us peace when we're in distress. That's what God's word, that's what the living word, Jesus, offers us. And you see, the danger is that if we don't crave the spiritual milk of the word of God, if we don't develop regular habits of encountering Jesus through the Bible and through prayer, we'll become like some of the other seed in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell on rocky ground, which initially sprouted well, because it didn't have deep roots, because it's not had the chance to grow strong. When the rain storms come or the sun beats down and the droughts come, the seed withers and then dies. And that's like us, without a deep rootedness in God's word, without developing those holy habits. When the challenges come, when the struggles in life come, maybe even the persecution comes, we don't have that rootedness in Scripture and who God is, in the truth of the gospel, to feed us, to comfort us, to sustain us, to hold us firm. And so to those facing persecution and great suffering in Peter's day, he's imploring them to crave that pure spiritual milk, to feed on the word of God, which will nourish and strengthen and sustain them through those challenges. See, if we're people who crave on the spiritual milk which God offers, will be like that last lot of seed. who grow strong and tall and produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. So the invitation here for us is from God is if we want to keep going, if we want to keep growing, firstly get rid of what hinders, what stunts our growth. And secondly, crave pure spiritual milk so that we may grow up. What does that mean for us today? Well, I just want to say one thing, and I was going to talk about this in more detail, but I'm not going to. But there was a whole load of research which was done a few years ago, which I've learned quite a lot from looking back. And what it found was that actually a lot of people, did a whole load of research in a whole load of churches, and it found a lot of people, about 25%, said actually they were stuck in their faith. That they were just not going anywhere or even going backwards, that they were stuck. And when they looked at and did some more research into those people, what they found was actually the big difference between those who were stuck and those who weren't stuck. One of the big differences was that actually they weren't reflecting on God's word. They weren't actually spending time with God and just doing what it says here, just feeding off that spiritual milk. And it's easy perhaps when we just are struggling in our faith, or maybe just to let that time with God slip, to perhaps not prioritise it, perhaps to spend our time doing other things. And just maybe for some of us here, if that's where you've found yourself in lately, actually maybe God's invitation today is just to, again, dwell in the words. Find that 15 minutes in the morning to just read a little bit. Maybe just work your way through a gospel, just reading a few verses each day and offering those up to God in prayer. Get into those habits again of actually dwelling with God, allowing Him to nourish us, allowing Him to feed us, allowing Him to encourage us. And it can be hard on our own too, can't it? Just to keep doing that. Well, that's why we meet together. That's why we meet together as church. That's why we meet together as life groups. And maybe again, the invitation to some of us here is actually let's get connected with each other. It might even be that you say to just one person, why don't we meet up for a coffee once a week and just share and encourage each other in what we've been reading and what we've been learning and pray together. You see, that way we can spur each other on to grow up, to keep going in the faith. Because God provides us with His own spiritual milk. It would be crazy if a baby said, I'm not going to bother drinking that milk, wouldn't it? It wouldn't last that long. And it certainly wouldn't grow. So perhaps it's crazy when we just say, well, actually, I'm just going to leave that today. I don't need that today. So why don't we all just hear God's invitation again? Let's get back into the words. Let's be people who actually meet the living words in the written words, who are nourished to grow and be transformed and be shaped to become more like Jesus. Because the great thing about being a Christian is that you're never there until you're really there. We're all called to keep growing, to keep being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Let's pray.